Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. How's everybody doing today? We thank God for another day to share His Word with you. And we're talking about responsibility in the kingdom. It says, what are we here for? Too many times, we as believers act like we're on a holiday. Amen? It's like Jesus is last thing on our mind, usually. It's like how many things that we can get done in a day for ourselves, not because of His kingdom. I'm going to go over here to the book of Matthew. This is something Jesus said. And so many times in lives, when things are not going well, do we get off track. Over in the book of Matthew, this is very poignant for this time that we're living in. I'm going to start at verse 25, chapter 6, says, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? See, a lot of people haven't answered that question. Because a lot of places that you go for church, they're not going to ask you that. They're not thinking about you. It says, behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? That's another question a lot of believers have not answered. Are you better than the birds? I remember seeing a cartoon about this man, he working on a calculator, fretting about paying his bills, and birds are looking through the window, and the birds say to each other, oh, God must not love him as much as he loves us, because he's fretting, how am I going to pay for these bills? Well, before I can go any further, I'm gonna start hitting on that about bills. And very few believers, you came into the kingdom in a proper order. So many people that we run into in the ministry is that they grew up in church. Well, they grew up in a congregation of an assembly. Because there's only one church, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one church. And they, what people call churches, you know, where you Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, whatever, it's like that's where you meet. You know, the only power is in that building when you come in there. Why? Because greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. If you're born again, God lives on the inside of you. So you come into the kingdom via being born into a family, not being, say, born into God's family. You know, I was born this, I'm going to die this. You know, you hear people talk like that. And you're clueless to what you have inherited. You're clueless. I was thinking about some things today for myself years ago, or different messages I had heard and things, and the position that these ministers were putting out, it was all about them. Maybe knowingly or unknowingly, only God did things for them. God didn't do things for other people. It was just them because they was the man or woman of God. And I remember years ago, there was a ministry, he's still ministering, a Jerry Savelle. And said, you know, he got saved, and God was using him. And people were coming up to him and said, well, you know, how can God use you? You just a body man. You worked on cars. You had his own business. God, I know more about God than you do. You know, I know more about the Bible than you do. And Jerry told him, said, well, you know, you may know more about the Bible, but I'm doing the Bible. And there's a big difference between somebody knowing the Bible and doing the Bible. When Jesus showed up and people were astonished because they didn't know who he was. That people were astonished about Jerry Phillips. They didn't know who he was. You're in the know, you're doing what God has told you to do. If you're not, you're sitting around wondering. See, that's what, when Jesus came to his hometown of Nazareth, he went in a synagogue on a Sabbath day, just they stood up to read. That's something he did all the time. They didn't say, well, who's this guy coming in here to read, you know? And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. Preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, liberate the captive, cover the sight to the blind. He said, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And they wondered at the gracious word which proceeded out of his mouth. Is this not Joseph's son? You know, they're clueless. Because reading word, he is reading what is written. And no one in that path had ever heard somebody read that and say that. He's the Christ. If you were in the know, you would know who Jesus was. I was thinking about that today, about different messages I've heard and meetings I've been into. I was young, Lord. And if you've been with us at any time, you know I said I was dumber than a stump. We had four Bibles in the house, and they were never read. You know? And what the Bible does not read for you, it won't do you any good. No different than your owner's manual to your car. How many people out there listening, you have a car, an owner's manual to it, and there was parts about that car you didn't know they even existed in your car, or you didn't know how to work them. Why? Because you never read the manual. I've heard people tell me they're going to throw their computer out the window. This computer don't work. Why? Because they never read the manual. So many different products people have in their house, they're no good. They've given away things. Nothing wrong. They did not know how to work it. And in the kingdom, you have to know how the kingdom works for you. And see, Bible says God is no respecter of person. What he does for one person, he will do somebody else. And people say, well, he hasn't me. Just seen on the internet yesterday, in fact. And people are talking about they're struggling to get healed. They're struggling to get healed. Why won't God heal me? I mean, how many people out there listening, you may be a person like that. I'm reading your mail. Why won't God heal me? And for a lot of people who say that, this may be your testimony. I go to church. I give money. I sing in a choir. I'm an usher. I'm a parking attendant. I may be even the pastor. I treat my wife well, my kids well. How come God don't heal me? Well, that should be obvious. What? Should be obvious. Yeah, it should be obvious why God don't heal you. Because you're looking at God to heal you because you what you have done or what you're doing. Yes. Well, now, that's not the basis why you should get healed. The basis why you should get healed, he sent his word and healed you. By his stripes, you were healed. Jesus, who bore your sicknesses and disease, Isaiah 53. There's something that God has already done for you that takes care of the healer. You have not appropriated. You have not taken it for yourself. You have not received the gift of healing like you received the gift of salvation. You did not work to get saved, did you? You didn't. And there are people who are in this planet who want to be pleasing to God, they will cut themselves. They will crawl on the ground. They will deny it. They will do all kind of things contrary to what God says will please him. Hold your place over in Matthew 6. We're going to go over to John chapter 6. And see, this is a question that Jesus is going to ask these guys. I'm over in chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for meat which perish, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give to you, for him has God the Father sealed." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Okay, you got that. You want to do the works of God. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent." That you believe on him that he has sent. Believe what? That he is the Christ, the Savior of the world, who bore your sin, sickness, and disease, and poverty, and fear. Everything contrary to God's will, Jesus has borne for us. Hallelujah. But people are struggling to get it. And what he said, to believe on him who God has sent. It didn't say do. The doing part is to believe. And that's where so many people in the body of Christ are failing. They don't believe it. It can't be that simple. What did God say? You don't say that when you jumped into a car and said, you know, put key in turn switch. It can't be that simple to start the car. Hit the button on the computer. It can't be that simple just to push a button and the computer will start up. It can't be that simple to push this remote control and the television to come on. And why is all those things simple? But even in the natural, how many people out there, you have a good friend or your son or daughter and say, you know, meet me at such and such a place for lunch on a certain day. You don't say, I wonder if they're going to show up. Not somebody you're a good friend. You know, they may be delayed or something. You know, something has come up. You would never think that your good friend would stand you up for lunch. Because if that's the case, you have a very low expectation of what a friend really is. You almost swear to your friend would show up. Jesus is your best friend. You will never have a more friend better than Jesus. Like the song, "What a Friend I Have in Jesus." You will never have a friend better than Jesus in your life. You can forget it. But you will believe somebody who will fail you umpteen times over a God that will not. Going back to Matthew 6, said, "Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Why take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, all his glory, would not have arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to cook?" You know, that's generally our thought. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Where you usually get that thought from? Your enemy, the devil. Put that thought in here. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? How are you going to pay this bill? How are you going to get this done? Panic sets in. You got to remember, Jesus in the back of the boat. He's chilling. In fact, he went to sleep. Jesus said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." But how many y'all ever been to me and said, Lord, go with us as we leave this place? You don't believe what Jesus said. So many different things. We will believe what somebody else says more than what Jesus says. But you have faith in these people's words, institution, different things. You probably you went to get a job, and they told you, you know, what time they're going to start, what day you're going to start, what you're going to get paid. You went and told everybody, I've got a job. You ain't seen no checkbook, bank account, anything. But you believe the person's word, what they told you. And how many people out there, you or somebody you've known, you have believed what somebody told you about a job and the job didn't exist? The company went bankrupt. You didn't even get your first paycheck. But you believe what they said. And God will never leave you forsaken. God is not a man that would lie. What he said is true. He's a God who cannot lie. Hallelujah. See, you have to know in whom you say you believe. Yeah, I believe. No, most people, they believe, they don't believe God. They believe in God. Oh, yeah, I believe there's a God. I believe my God. I believe, you know, my God. Most of the time when I hear that, I know they ain't got it. You know, because for you to believe in God, you got to believe what he said. And most people don't know what he said. Like I said, when I was a kid, you know, I believe in God. I believe in God. And didn't know him. Four Bibles in the house, they were never read. And I'm talking about, yeah, I believe in God. How many people are there? How many people listen to me? You have never checked up on what you believe out of the Bible. You believe something in a church or organization you go to. I've been believing this all my life. And you come to find out, well, the other group, you come to find out what they taught you wasn't true. What they told you was off. See, for people, you've never checked out on what you believe, well, you just believe everything they tell you. You better check out of the Bible. Like I said, people around here, somebody will tell them, why, they will ask them, why do you believe that? Do you got scripture on that? You know, you hear people, God can do anything. Is that true? And most people say, yeah, God can do anything. Well, he can't. What? How do we got to? Name me something God can't do. Well, he can't make you treat your wife better. Can't make you treat your husband better. He can't make you give an offering plate. He can't make you stop running through that traffic light. That's where rubber meets the road. That God is there for you. That I'll never leave you or forsake you. And it goes on to say, you know, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things. And all these things shall be added unto you. And see, that's where we don't do. We don't seek him first. He may be the last thing, like I said, getting back to this thing about paying the bills. That may be the last person we think about when we're in trouble. He should be first. See, if you're trained that way, God's always first. And see, that's why so many people get messed up. Because think about something, folks. When Adam and Eve got here, you know, God was already here. He was there. He's instructing them, and he gave Adam instructions and all that, right? You look through the Bible. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, well, how they got out of Egypt? God got them out of Egypt. Told them what to do, where to go, how to cross the Red Sea, you know, all the instructions, going to the land, spied out what they were supposed to do. And I know one thing a lot of people have talked about, the money for the body of Christ has never been transferred. What do you mean, money for the body of Christ never been transferred? Never been transferred. To where, like when Israel left Egypt, they had goods. They were debt free. And now so many people come into the body of Christ and they're full of debt. Broke, sad, disgusted. That's wrong because you're in the kingdom. But you have just inherited something. What? Yeah, you just inherit. You have been, let's go over here to the book of Colossians. You just have inherited something. Amen? Says, for this cause, also since the day I've heard of, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You got to know what his will is. That you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, to all patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. You got an inheritance. And I don't know anything about it, and most people don't. Like I said, being a kid, lacking some stuff, and there was the will was sitting, four copies of the will was sitting in my parents' house. It was never opened. Have you ever heard of somebody, they living out on the street, living in a shack, and they own some property? It's been left to them. Cars, money, it has been left. They don't know it. And see, what you don't know, that's yours, won't do you no good. And so many people in the body of Christ are struggling to, oh, God, help me. He's already has. Oh, God, do so. Oh, he already has. The one we hear around here a lot, people ask you to pray. We don't have no problem praying for people. But like say, for a lot of people, we might ask them to shake them up. Why don't you pray yourself, you lazy thing? Well, God, he ain't hearing my prayers. Why not? Aren't you his child? Yes. Something nuts. You don't believe that he hears you. You don't believe he hears you. Because like you think about with your children or your parents, that they were loving and kind, and your kids ask you for something, they don't have to beg and plead. Amen? Don't have to beg and plead for it. Hallelujah. Well, I see our time is going out for the day, and like always, we give you the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You'd like to be born again and receive God's free gift of salvation by making Jesus your Lord and Savior? Pray this prayer with us. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. The Bible says, if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead, I will be saved. I confess you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. And I believe in my heart you were raised from the dead. Thank you for giving me everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you said that prayer, drop a little note off to Eagles of Prayer Ministries, P.O. Box 3024, Gaithersburg, Maryland, 20885. And we'll send you out some free study material to help you in newfound faith in Christ. Send in your prayer requests, comments, questions. We're here to help you. See, we're going to continue this tomorrow. See, God wants you to be in the know. He don't want you to be in dark because he loves you and cares for you. Amen? God bless you. Have a great night. And remember, Jesus Christ is Lord. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.